Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. It's Labor Day week, and that's a good time to take a look at how North Carolina workers are faring and to gauge some of the public policy debates that will affect their lives. Few people are more knowledgeable in this area than North Carolina State AFL-CIO President Mary B. McMillan. Recently, McMillan joined producer Clayton Hinkle in studio to discuss stagnant wages in a booming economy, the fight for a $15 minimum wage, and the organization's opposition to President Trump's latest Supreme Court nominee.
Mary B., thanks for joining us again this Labor Day on News and Views.
Thanks, Clayton. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we've been enjoying an improving economy, record low unemployment, yet painfully slow wage growth. What are we to make of the job picture as we approach Labor Day?
It's good that our economy is improving and the jobless numbers are down, but they don't tell the whole story. We still have far too many people that are underemployed, too many folks working too hard for too little. You know, nearly half of North Carolina's workers, 47.5%, earn less than $15 an hour. And nearly one in three workers in North Carolina earns below the federal poverty line. That's the second worst in the nation. So a lot of our folks have less money in their pockets than they did years ago because costs have risen and wages have not. We've seen productivity and profits increase, but wages keep staying flat. And that's why it's so important to raise the wage to $15 an hour. We're part of an effort to try and do that here in North Carolina because it's time that working people get part of the wealth that we create.
One of the few bright spots in this year's state budget was raising the base pay for some of the state's lowest paid workers, state workers. And while that was encouraging, legislative leaders were reluctant to take up any initiative that would raise the minimum wage for workers across our state.
That's right. We think they should raise it to 15 for everyone because all North Carolinians deserve a fair wage. Yet legislative leaders have refused to even hear any bill that would raise the state's minimum wage. And the legislation they did pass that raised state employees' workers left out a lot of workers in the state system, including temporary employees, employees of the public schools and the community college system. So we think while that was a good first step, it's not enough because school bus drivers, fast food workers, home health care aides, they all deserve $15 an hour too. So we've got to continue to call on our legislature to raise wages for all North Carolinians.
I think there's some people that have a misperception that raising the wage will lead to job losses. That's not the case, though, is it?
That's not the case. Research has shown that. And you look at companies like McDonald's that pay, you know, much higher wages, like $15 an hour in other countries. They're still selling plenty of burgers. It doesn't lead to job loss. It doesn't lead to lost profits. There's plenty of profits and wealth to be shared with the workers.
It's interesting. I read, I believe, last week that Walt Disney World had reached a deal to raise the minimum wage for its workers to $15 an hour by 2021. It's not all at once. They're doing it in $1 annual increments, which seems pretty doable.
Right. And we've been pushing to incrementally raise the wage here in North Carolina. It doesn't have to be all at once, but let's create a plan to get workers up to a living wage and understand that it will benefit the whole economy because when workers have more money in our pockets, we spend more at businesses. We create more tax revenue for government. So it's good for our total economy when workers have more money.
Let's talk a little bit about the gig economy. I think everybody knows somebody who's working a second job somewhere. We see more people who are driving for Lyft and Uber. It's interesting that workers in other states have been pushing back, trying to get rights to be classified and compensated accordingly.
Right. Or even, you know, be called an independent contractor when you're really an employee.
Which right. And is, tell people what an independent contractor is.
That's when companies classify a worker as an independent contractor rather than a company employee. And it means that those workers don't have protections like workers' compensation, unemployment benefits. It often means that they have a much larger tax liability at the end of the year when they have to pay their taxes. And it robs our state government of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in tax revenue. So it's not fair to workers. It's not fair to those companies that abide by the law and classify their employees as real employees. And it's a huge problem in North Carolina. The legislature took a small step towards addressing that issue, but we need to do a lot more. you know, it's unfortunate that it's become almost normal in our country to expect people to work two or three jobs just to make ends meet. And I think that we really need to raise expectations. It's not normal in the richest country in the world for people to work full time and be in poverty or to have to work three jobs just to make ends meet.
Let's shift gears a little bit and talk about a victory for union workers. They recently scored a huge win in Missouri with the rejection of right-to-work legislation that was on the ballot there. Tell our listeners about the significance of that vote for Missouri and more broadly for the labor movement.
I think that that victory shows the power of collective action and that working people have really had enough. I think it also shows that working people understand that so-called right to work is really not about rights at all. It is an attempt by CEOs and corporate-funded politicians to undermine workers' bargaining power and our collective voice on the job. And, you know, from the massive defeat of right to work in Missouri to the teachers' strikes that we have seen around the country, collective actions on the rise. Young folks are fired up. Women are running for office like never before. Working people want change. And I think that will translate into big change in November and a new wave of elected officials who are really committed to leveling the playing field for working people.
Well, while we're talking about November, let's talk a little bit about the constitutional amendments that are on the ballot. I know that you haven't taken a position on all of them, but there are some that are a little bit concerning. I know the tax cap is something that could affect state services going forward. I know that voter ID is something that the AFL-CIO has spoken out against in the past.
Absolutely. We're very concerned about those two constitutional amendments. You know, the tax cap really restricts lawmakers in terms of raising revenue in a natural disaster or some other kind of crisis. And we think it's critical that we have adequate funds for services that our citizens depend on. And the voter ID amendment, it's trying to address a problem that doesn't even exist. It would dramatically impact people of color and our seniors. So we are adamantly opposed to that, as well as the other two amendments that are really a continuation of a long line of actions by this legislature to take power away from the governor and give it to themselves. So we're going to be educating our members about these amendments.
Definitely important that you vote.
Absolutely.
We take every opportunity to tell people that. Let's talk about one other thing that's happening at the national level. The AFL-CIO has been recently vocal in its opposition to Judge Brett Kavanaugh. That's Donald Trump's next Supreme Court nominee. What would you want senators to know about that appointment, as well as our listeners?
We are adamantly opposed to Kavanaugh's nomination to the Supreme Court. As a judge, he has had a record of siding with corporate interests over working people. In several cases, he's ruled against working people and their unions and undermined bargaining rights. In another case, he refused to uphold a safety citation against SeaWorld after a worker died there and said that the government's role in protecting workers' health and safety was, quote, paternalistic. We definitely do not need someone on the United States Supreme Court who questions government's role in protecting workers' health and safety. We've seen with this court already that it leans too heavily in favor of big corporations. We definitely don't need another justice who refuses to stand up for the little guy.
Well, while we're talking about President Trump and workers' rights this week, the president said that he's ditching NAFTA. We don't know much else about it. We know that Canada is on the outs with the president. But what protections would you like to see for workers come out of any sort of agreement there?
We would like to see more protections both for workers in foreign countries as well as workers here. You know, make sure that this really is fair trade, that we're not giving incentives to companies to move jobs overseas, that companies that operate in other countries abide by fair labor standards and environmental practices. You know, we need a trade policy that raises the floor for all workers around the globe, not that pits workers against each other and perpetuates this race to the bottom to see where they can pay workers the least.
The AFL-CIO of North Carolina has a huge conference that's coming up in September, a chance to talk more about workers' rights, and you've got some high-profile guests that are going to be there. Tell us a little bit about that.
This will be our 61st annual convention. And we're really billing this convention as a way of showcasing new leadership. We elected a new executive board last year and ushering in a new era for the labor movement. We're going to be unveiling a new strategic plan and really focusing on how we build a bigger, more engaged, more powerful movement here to win victories for working families. Our theme is Count Me In, because we want union members to say, count me in to stand with workers who are trying to organize for fairness on the job. Count me in to make calls and knock doors in November in support of worker-friendly candidates. Count me in to push our legislature to enact a good jobs pro-worker policy agenda. Count me in, because together we win.
Folks can learn more at AFLCIONC.org. Mary B. McMillan is president of the North Carolina State AFL-CIO. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks so much, Clayton.
Up next, WRAL-TV producer Clay Johnson on a new documentary that explores the future of work entitled Connecting the Bots. Stay with us.